The Word of God is what we stand on, isn't it? We learned a little bit last Sunday about it creating the world and holding the world in existence. We thank the Lord for the Word of God. We want to turn to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. I want to start reading at the 8th verse. And I want us to take special attention to these passages of Scripture. And if we give a title to this, it would be Strong and Do It. We are always needing encouragement. I don't believe that there's anybody here that doesn't need encouragement when you see the things that you're overwhelmed with that seem maybe overwhelming or daunting tasks or things that you have to do, just a person that's on the job. Sometimes things can get awful bad. Sometimes maybe it's just a mother in her home that's caring for the children and taking care of the duties, and it seems like there's never ending laundry is always piled up or dishes always need, something always need to be done. And sometimes it can get a bit discouraging. And we have to be encouraged from time to time we just need somebody to tell us, be encouraged. It's going to be all right. Things are going to, no matter what you face, things are going to be all right. Let us start reading at the 8th verse, please.
1 Chronicles 28:8.
Yes.
Now therefore
in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord,
and in the
audience of our God, all right, that's not what I'm looking for. Is it 10? Yeah, start at the 9th verse.
And thou, Solomon, my son.
Yes? No, go ahead. I'm sorry. That is what I want. Start at the 8th verse.
Now, therefore, forgive me.
Yes.
In the sight of all Israel,
yes.
Congregation of the Lord.
And in the audience of our God.
Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord.
He tells them to keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord, your God,
that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever.
Do you realize that what we are doing now, we're building our inheritance for those that are coming behind us? We're building an inheritance. When you take into consideration the spiritual inheritance that many of us, that some of us had passed down to us, our mothers, our fathers, those that have gone on into glory, there's an inheritance that they left. And that inheritance that they left was a result of them keeping and seeking for all the commandments of the Lord, and they possessed a land. And there are oftentimes that our desire is, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like my mother. I want to be like brother so-and-so. I want to be like sister so-and-so, because we understand that the inheritance that they left for us is a rich treasure that we have, that we can look at their lives, and there is something that we can get from their lives even after they've been gone for many, many years. That's the inheritance, and we want to understand that we're leaving an inheritance for those that are following behind us. They're going to, those that have known us, our children, our grandchildren, those that are coming behind us, we're leaving some type of an inheritance for them. We're showing, you know, when somebody dies, we take the will and we disperse the benefits that they have, the goods, the treasures, the inheritance that they have, don't we? And you know, every one of us, believe it or not, we're going to die. And every one of us is going to leave something behind. We're going to leave an inheritance behind. It may be an inheritance of bills that folks need to pay. It may be an inheritance of something that they wish they didn't have. Maybe have to clean out the garage and the house and all that. But there is something that you're going to leave. Now, in a spiritual sense, what are you leaving? Is it a trail of despair and a loss of hope, and their life was just a terrible life? You're leaving something behind for somebody to look at, for somebody to disperse, for somebody to divide up among themselves. And you know, how often do we see children that have parents that didn't have much, and that child is responsible to take what that parent had and to disperse it among themselves, and it may not be very much. But you know what I want to say to us? All of us will have a spiritual inheritance. I have a spiritual inheritance that my mother passed down to me. And it's one of the most valuable things that I possess. She didn't leave any money. We didn't have to fight over money. We didn't have that problem. And we ain't going to have that problem if our dad passes either. But we'll have an inheritance that belongs just as much to me as to my sister, as to my brother. There's inheritance. So this is what we want us to understand, that it is them seeking after the Lord. And so you seeking after the Lord, there is an inheritance that you're going to leave for somebody. Continue to read, please.
And thou, Solomon,
my son,
know thou the God of thy father.
And serve him with a perfect
heart. You serve him with a perfect heart.
And with a willing mind.
And with a willing mind. Not something that you're for. You know, the Lord does not want anybody to serve him against their will. It's really impossible to do anyway. To give true service to the Lord, it has to be with a perfect heart and a willing mind. If you don't want to do it, then the Lord don't want you to do it. He has the ability to convince us, or he attempts very hard to convince us that our best out is to serve him. It's the best thing that ever happened to us, isn't it? There is, when you really serve the Lord like you need to serve him, there are no regrets. The only regret is that you didn't do it sooner and that you didn't do it more perfectly. The problem that people have in serving the Lord, when you are tempted to go back on the Lord, there is something about your heart that's not perfect toward the Lord. There is something that you need to perfect in your character, who you are, because once you get it down in the depths of your heart, even going through the hard trials, even going through the time, you're not going to let the Lord loose. You don't want to. You understand that he's taking you through all the things that he's taking you, and what you're going through, the Lord sees it is best for you. Yeah. All right? And so you want to embrace him. You want to hold on to him tighter. All right? Read. The Lord searches all hearts.
The Lord searches all hearts. So he knows what's down there.
And understand
he understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts.
If thou seek him,
he will be found of thee.
But if you forsake him,
he will cast you off. So he's saying that there are consequences to your actions. Here he's saying that you seek the Lord, he'll be found of you. He said the Lord search your heart. And he's talking about here a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches the heart and he understandeth the imaginations of the thought. Do you know sometimes we have these vivid imaginations? You've heard the little saying that folks say, you know, the imagination is the greatest nation in the world. It is. There are many things that people imagine in their mind that somebody has done against them or somebody has done, and we concoct these stories, and before we know it, we're discouraged, by not because of what actually happened, but because of what we perceived and what we've imagined in our own heart to have happened. Sometimes folks do this with God. Lord, why did you let this happen? And then they have all this vivid imagination and they put together a story that's not even an accurate presentation of what God was trying to do. So we have to be very careful of this. And he says, you have to have a willing mind, for the Lord searches the heart. The Lord searches the heart and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought, so you can't hide anything from him. He understands what you're dealing with. He understands what you're going through. He understands who you are. He understands everything that there is about you. So it's no use in hiding. It's no use in concocting this cover story. Have you ever dealt with people and you said, do you want to know what the real story is? Do you want to know the cover story? There's always a cover story that we have as individuals, right? There's a certain way that we want people to think of us and whatnot. And then we have this cover story that we let everybody know about. But there's really something down in the imaginations of our heart. And the Lord wants to purify that for us to be able to be like what he wants us to be. So here, this is what he's saying. He understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. He understands the real reason. He understands the real justifications. He understands the cover story. What you're telling everybody. And he knows that. So you know what? Don't give him a cover story because he already knows. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, there is a consequence to that. He'll cast you off. In other words, have you ever had somebody, we're getting down to our text scripture, but these are things that I felt like the Lord wanted us to bring out too. Have you ever had somebody that was, they had a mind, maybe they were supposed to be doing something and they were complaining about it all the time, and you just wanted in your mind, you know what, I don't even have to deal with that.
So he said, if you're complaining about it, he says here, if you're going to forsake him and you're going to go on about your business, then the Lord will do that too. But it says, as you're going away, the Lord is still endeavoring to pull you back. But when he sees that there's just no possibility at this time in your experience for him to woo you, then he says, all right, then I'll put you down, I'll cast you aside, and I'll go on to the next person. Do you know the Lord has the ability to do that? You don't want the Lord to leave you. You want the Lord to be long-suffering and gracious to you. But you have something to do with how the Lord responds to you. All right? So take heed now, for he hath... The Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary.
Be strong
and do it. So he's given him all of this instruction about the inheritance. He's given an instruction of how your mindset needs to be, how you don't need to be making concessions and justifying a lower standard than what God is requiring of you. He's saying this to him. He wants your mind to be right. He wants you to have the right kind of an attitude. He wants you to have a perfect heart and a willing mind, because you really can't build what God is wanting you to build unless you have a perfect mind and a willing heart. A perfect heart and a willing mind. You've got to be willing to do it God's way. If there is some reserve in your heart where God is wanting you to do something and you have in your mind, I don't want to do that, then let me tell you, your heart is going to win every time. He says that down in the depths of your heart, what's in your heart, the mouth speaks, and what's in your heart is what we do. So the Lord says, perfect the heart and have a willing mind. Sometimes, in order to have a perfect heart, we've got to have a willing mind. Lord, I know that there is something about me that needs to be perfected. Lord, give me the willingness in my heart to be able to do it. We have to have a willing mind for it ever to penetrate our heart. And so we seek the Lord. We say, Lord, there is some reserve that I have. And all of us, I believe, and it's generally something that mankind has to fight, there is generally some reserve that all of us have had at one time or another when the Lord has presented something to us. He's touched something in our lives. And that was something that was dear to us, or something that we felt like, Lord, it's not necessary for you to take this. And the Lord determines in his mind that that's what I want. And so we have to have the strength and the courage and the willingness in our heart to be able to let the Lord touch it. If we're not willing, we won't have our heart perfected. All right? There has to be a willing mind first. All right? He said, be strong and do it. Read, please. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof,
and of the place of the mercy seat,
place of the mercy, inner parlors thereof, and the place of the mercy seat. Yes.
And the place of the
mercy seat.
And
the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit
of the courts
of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the works of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave of the gold by weight for things of gold, all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight of the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlesticks, also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. Now I want to stop right there, because I read this portion to give us a detail. It gives a detail, in essence, a detailed account of what he was to do. And he gives us the material in which to use to build the house of the Lord. He said, first of all, the first thing that he gave was the blueprint of it. And he said, it might be in your mind that it's not that big of a deal to build, but you got to go back in the time frame in which they were building. And I thought, even now, as we are in the modern times, we have all the modern equipment, we have the sawzalls, and we have the skill saws, and we have the nail guns, and all these things that we have to make our job a little bit easier. And I thought, as we were building this building, this sanctuary right here, all the obstacles that we came across. It seemed like it was very, it should have been a very simple process. We talked to the architect gave us the blueprints. We had the pattern of what to do. We talked to all the folks that were had the skills to build it, and we gave it to them. They got all the material and all the things that we needed. But you know, it took a fight to be able to get this building up. A lot of things happened in the interim. And do you realize that I believe that the reason he said, the Lord has chosen you to build this house, be strong and do it, is because he knew that he was going to be finding some opposition against what God, anytime there is something that God wants done and God wants something built, there is going to come opposition against you to accomplish the task that the Lord has in hand for you. And you're going to have the courage and the strength to do it, to be strong and do it. A few of the things, one of the things that we did, and I've probably told you the story here, one of the things is we got the building up, that we'd gone to the building inspector, we got everything approved, and we started building, and they stopped us. We had a certain amount of money, and they said, you can't finish building until you put the parking lot in. Because we have to be able to get the ambulance in, and if somebody falls and hurts themselves, we've got to be able to get the ambulance, we've got to do all of this thing. So we had to stop, and all the money that we were going to put in this building had to go in the $40,000-$50,000 had to go in the parking lot. Couldn't just do the parking lot, we had to do the fire hydrants and everything. So $50,000 that should have gone into the building went there. So, you know, it was discouraging. We stopped for 2 or 3 months. And it was discouraging. I don't know, I've probably felt the brunt of it because I was doing most of the general contract work and whatnot, but it was discouraging. And now where are we going to recover $50,000? We're a poor congregation. Where are we going to get that money? So we had to begin to pray and seek the Lord, and the Lord provided every step of the way. And there are some things that we had to do that we probably wouldn't have done if some of these things didn't happen. But what I'm wanting to show you is that any time you begin to build something for the Lord, you've got the devil to contend with. All right? So we have to understand, number one, that this is why he said to Solomon, his son, be strong and do it. No matter what comes, you cannot stop midstream. You cannot get discouraged. You cannot get disillusioned because you just don't know where it's coming from. The Lord is going to be there with you. And so what I want to say to you and to us today here is the Lord, whatever it is that the Lord has for you in this coming year, he is going to be there with you. Yes, it may be a daunting task. Yes, it may be more than you thought. You bit off more than you can chew. You got more than you bargained for. But the Lord is going to be there with you. Be strong and do it. You're able, by the grace of God, to do everything that the Lord himself tells you you must do. All right? All right, let's go a little further here. I want to drop down. Let's read. Let's drop down to the 20th verse. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. He's telling it again, because you're building the house of the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. This is the Lord's work. And let me tell you, what I've learned is when you begin to do the Lord's work, the Lord has a say in what happens. First of all, there's this pattern that he has that we've got to go by his blueprint. And as we go by what he has laid down, he is going to sanctify that, and he is going to bless that, and he is going to make certain that whatever obstacles you face, that he's going to take care of it. All right, that's just in the sense of this building, and there have been things. It's really interesting to me. I enjoy building, but I'm terrible at it. I can't do any of the carpentry work, but I love doing it. I love watching somebody else do it. I would love telling them what to do. I love seeing it in my mind and being able to make it happen, but I don't know how to put it together. I'm not a carpenter. And I believe that there are times that we need somebody to help us. We can see what needs to happen, but the Lord has those that are more skilled. That's why we come into settings like this. Yeah.
those that are more skilled that can help us build what God has for us to build. The Lord sees it in His mind. We may see it in our mind, but it is no way that I could have built this building myself. I know nothing about electricity or plumbing. Very little. I know very little about carpentry and could not have done all the things that needed to be done. And do you realize that I had to deal with other people, and some of the folks got upset and left the job and wouldn't come back? All those kinds of things we had to deal with. Do you know this is what Solomon was going to have to deal with? Do you realize that what God is allowing to happen in your life, the folks that you know that are part of your life, the Lord is allowing them to be used to build the sanctuary of your life. Your life. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go to another scripture. I want to go to the scripture in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. But before that, I want to lay the foundation by going to 1 Peter 2 and 21, and then someone give me John 13 and 15. 1 Peter 2 and 21. Yes. Christ suffered for us. He's leaving us an example. Ye should follow in His steps. Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. So Christ suffered for us. And it goes up in the first part of that chapter. It speaks about us being lively stones. Ye also are lively stones. Are built by up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. This is the fifth verse. Holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto to God by Jesus Christ. So it says here that the Lord is the pattern. So how you and I are to pattern our lives, the blueprint, the pattern that was given for the sanctuary of the house of the Lord, that was a pattern was given. Now we put that in the natural sense, in the spiritual sense, that we have a pattern, a blueprint by which to build the sanctuary of the Lord. This was the Old Testament that Solomon was to build the temple where the Ark of the Covenant and where the Lord was to dwell. He was to build that for the Lord. But that was the Old Testament. Now you and I have the responsibility to build in this New Testament temple, which is our body. And we are the temple of the Lord. And we are to fashion our lives and pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. He was our example. Let's read the other scripture. John 13 and 15. You have it? John 13 and 15. I've given you an example that ye shall do as I have done to you. Now this is in the context of him washing the disciples' feet, but I believe that this goes far beyond that. He said, I want you to continue this ordinance of washing one another's feet, to have the servant, to understand the servanthood one of another. I want you to know that, and I want you to understand that, but I also believe it goes beyond that. He left us an example that we should do like He does in all things, and how we relate to people, and how we're long-suffering to people, and how when it comes time for us to put our foot down, how we do it generally just like the Lord did. Whatever it is, the Lord left us an example. This is our pattern. This is what our lives are to look like when we find our enemy is spitting in our face. What are we to do? We're to find out how we're to build our character to look like Jesus Christ. This is why it is important and imperative for us to have a perfect heart and a willing mind. Because if someone spits in your face, what is it? What is the natural reaction of the carnal man? It is to lash back out in some kind of a way and not take it. But what is the response of Jesus Christ? The example that Jesus Christ lived is for us not to retaliate. When someone slaps us on one cheek, what do? We turn the other cheek. Now, folks are saying, you know what, Brother Darrell, I know that he don't mean that literally. Well, how does he mean it? You need to go down and find, well, it's just a figure of speech. No, it's in a literal sense. And I believe if we got to that point and we actually did what the Lord, pattern our lives to the extent in the smallest, minutest of details, the reason that we read all of those about the gold and about the things of gold and the candlesticks is because this was a very detailed blueprint. It was very detailed in how he wanted that temple built, the upper rooms and all of the things that he wanted done. It was very detailed, and it was going to take years for it to happen. And in the same way, Jesus came down here and experienced every detail of our individual lives and told us how to, here's the pattern of how you're to do it. And the only way that we can do that, I've heard somebody say to me, you know what? I know what the Bible teaches, but somebody hit me, I'm hitting them back. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's not a willing mind, is it? And so and that's not a perfect heart, is it? So this is why he told Solomon, you must have a willing mind. Now, if somebody slaps me, I don't want nobody to slap me. I don't want anybody to act wrong with me, but there is something that I have to build something in my character that if it happens, I have the pattern and I have the grace of God and I have all the material that I need, the gold, the silver, all the material that I need to be able to build the kind of a character in myself, in yourself, that will be able to respond like the pattern says for it to respond. You follow me? Lord, help us. All right. So, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, first of all, 6 and 1. And then I want someone to get us 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll start at verse 9.
We
then as workers together with him. We as workers together with him, we beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now you know what, all of us have the grace of God. But what's the point in having it if you don't utilize it? We need the grace to be able to deal with some of the things that we are faced with on a day-to-day basis. We need the power and the grace of God. Do you know what grace is? Grace is authority. It's not just the divine favor of God. It is that. But it is authority. It is the authority over oneself that God gives us, the power and the authority over ourselves to respond like the pattern tells us to. So let me tell you, we can't do it by ourselves. He says, so what happens is we are laborers together with God. We're workers together with him. So we work with him. Just like there is no way that any one of us, even I can take a skilled worker, a person that is skilled, that knows every detail about building a building, and they can do it from the ground up, laying the foundation and everything, but he cannot build this building by himself. He can't do it. Because there are requirements, there are things that he has to have somebody building a building of this magnitude. He has to have somebody, even if he just took his time, he still couldn't do it. Because he couldn't put the rafters up there. He could not raise the wall. He couldn't do it. In the same way, you and I can't build this house, this tabernacle of the Lord by ourselves. We need the Lord. We're workers together with him, and we're also workers one with another. Do you realize that the folks that cut across the grain, the reason that the Lord tells us to come together is that we provoke one another to love and to good works. How can you love somebody if there's nobody to love? How can you learn the things that God wants you to learn about your character, about yourself, about being the kind of a person that God wants you to be if somebody doesn't move you the wrong way? Somebody doesn't saw something against the grain. So you see how we need each other. Sometimes we need the trials that we as individuals bring to each other. Because it helps us to overcome. He says, be strong and do it. We don't want to, but what would we be like? How many of us would feel... Have you ever gone back over your life and felt like, you know what, my parents should never have whipped me. I was a pretty good child. Anybody feel that way, that you never should have gotten not one whipping because you were a good child? No reprimand? Anybody like that? Most of us, as we get older and we look back on the children now, we find out that the children now are not getting the reproof that we got, right? Am I right about that? Yeah. It seems like there is far less discipline in this generation than there was in my generation. Every little thing they would deal with us on it. Well, you know what were they doing? What was our parents doing when they gave us a good whipping because we were disobedient? They were building something. They were building our character. They were building something in us where we, there's these minutest details where our mothers, if you had an attitude, you know, we used to do this. I don't know if y'all did it. We didn't do it very many times because we found out that it's not really wise to go, when you get a whipping, to go stomping in the room and slamming the door and being mad. We did it a few times. And then what happened? What did your parents do when you did that? You were mad. What did they do? They followed you. No, mine didn't follow me. Mine told me to come back. Yours followed you. That's good. That was a good thing. You got what I got, but they followed you, but they made me come back. Come here. Apparently, I didn't give you enough of what I was trying to give you. Because you haven't learned the lesson, and I haven't built the character that I need to build for you. So guess what? You got it again. And so this time, even though you wanted to stomp, you walked a little bit. You walk there and you close the door and then you deal whatever you want. You know. But they were building something in you. And you know what? I don't regret the whippings that I got. Amen. I don't regret them. Don't remember them. Don't regret them. But I know that I probably could have gotten more than what I did. Because what happens, let me tell you, it's harder to build it when you get old.
That's right.
You done got set in your ways. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you, this is the honest truth. We did major renovations on our house, and I got some folks to give me an estimate of it. And one man came in there, and when I told him what I wanted to do, he said, you know what, it would really be easier for you and cheaper if you just tore this house down and just built it all over. That's because he didn't know how I was going to do it. But he saw the plans that were drawn out. He saw the blueprint of what was drawn out, and he said it would be cheaper for you rather than hiring somebody. Just tear this down, he said, because it's actually cheaper to do new construction than it is to tear something out, rebuild it, and tear this out. And you know what? And I believe him. Because it's easier. It goes by a lot faster. You can get a house. You go over there into a new addition, you can find that they can put a house up in. You can go there on Monday, and by Friday, you go over there Monday, and all you see is a foundation. You go there by Friday, and all the walls are up, the windows are in, the roof is on, and it only took them 4 or 5 days, maybe 6 days to be able to do it. Well, that same analogy goes with once you got an old house and you built, there's first few things that you got to prop up before you can tear something else out. Because this is a supporting wall that's been here forever, and you've got to find a way to prop it up before you can, and then you got to brace it and all these other things. Now, let's take our lives like that. As a child, and a child that has not had his ways set in him, doesn't have these supporting walls and these defenses that are built up, this is why the Lord gives us children, and we can work with those children from infant up, and we see that there are some issues. Let me tell you, when you have a child that has an attitude, what do? You start working on that when they're young. When you have a child that is stubborn, you start working on it when they're young. You work on their stubbornness, and you make them. You see a child that is hyper. And they can't be still. What do? We tell them that, you know, now they want to say it's ADD and all this other kind of stuff. I don't know what the old folks said, but they just told you get somewhere and sit down.
Right.
You don't need no medication. You sit down and don't move until I tell you to move.
Right.
And then when you did move, they gave the medication that they gave was a little switch off the willow tree.
Right.
And that seemed to work just as much as whatever these kind of medications that they are given nowadays. They can say, go sit down. You need to be still. And they made that child be still. And it was much easier. Now, what happens is, if we don't do that, that child grows up. He was a stubborn, rebellious child. I know we can't, maybe not can get it all. But while they're young and while we can bend the tree and make it what the Lord build a character in it, into it, that the Lord wants built, that's what we're to do, because it's much harder to do it when you get old. But let me tell you, you can do it when you get old. And that's why you need the courage. This is why Solomon is saying, be strong and do it. Because now your life has been set. And now the Lord is saying, you know what? You have come to me and you have given your life to me. Not only have you given your life to me, you've given your body to me. And I have every right to renovate. I can tear down all the walls and I can rebuild it that is more suited for me. I know a little bit of something about this in the natural sense. And I know about it in the spiritual sense.
building a house. I know about renovation, and I know about the Lord renovating my life. And so what I want us to understand is that when we have given our hearts to the Lord, He has a right to put whatever material in it He wants to. He has a right to tear down any room in it. He has a right to do whatever He wants to that house that we have given to Him as His own. But we have to have a willing mind and a perfect heart, or we will get in the way. Lord, help us. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 9th verse. Again, we need some help. We can't do it by ourselves. I cannot build the kind of a character in my life. You cannot build the kind of character in your life that God wants without His help. All right? You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have the responsibility of being the general contractor. I'm the wise master builder. I know a little bit about this. I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. It shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? This is what Solomon, this is the type that Solomon was building. Don't you know, don't you understand, don't you have the knowledge that you're the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God, this is what the temple was all for, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. In the natural sense. Now, we have it here in the physical sense here that we're the temple of God. And God wants to rule and reign in us. And He wants to live in us. And this is what it's all about. And let me tell you, what does it say? Continue to read. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He doesn't want it defiled. He has a right to do whatever he wants to the temple. He has a right to clean it out. You know what? None of us like living in somebody else's mess. It's something about our dirt that doesn't seem as dirty to us as it may to somebody else. But when we go to somebody else and we see all this dirt, it's like we can't function. Because it's their dirt and we don't know where it came from. And we don't know all the whys and wherefores, and we're afraid to sit down, but they're just as comfortable with it. But the Lord has the right. He said, don't defile my temple. This is my temple. So you don't have a right to do with yourself what you want to do. You can't defile it, all right? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, so what did we say when he went back to Solomon? He said, you know what? If you follow after the Lord, he's going to embrace you. If not, he's going to cast you. If you forsake him, he's going to cast you aside. What this is talking about in this passage of scripture, a person that defiles is a person that goes away from what they know the Bible is telling them to do, what the pattern is. They go away from it, and there's only one thing to happen when you walk away and you turn your back on the Lord. There is defilement, period. And after a while, the Lord would try to woo you and try to bring you back. But at some point, he says, if you forsake me, I forsake you. I cast you aside. Lord, help us. So this is what we're building. We're building the temple of God. We're building character. And so when we see the things that are go against the grain, we see the hardship that the Lord faces. When we see the things that people do to us that we don't like, that we're building our love for mankind. We're building our humility. We're building forgiveness. And we see the very minutest details according to the pattern that the Lord did it all. And he says, you know what? You have, as the master builder, you have the right to put whatever material in it that you want to build. And you can go the kind of the cheap route, And you can do hay and stubble, and you can make it outside. You know they build houses out of hay bales? And literally, they is well insulated, and they stack the hay bales, and they put some kind of thing on the outside. I don't know exactly how they do it, but I've seen them do it. Well, if you just make a little hole in that, and then you put a little match or something in there, somebody sticks a candle in, plugs a candle in, and it burns too long, we're going to have a problem with that, isn't it? All right, well, but we can build a house, and we can live in a thatched roof house and whatnot, but it's going to have some problems, isn't it? So if we don't want that kind of thing to happen, we better build with some quality material. And the reason that we read so much in depth as to what the pattern was and what material was used, you didn't see any hay and stubble used, did you? What you saw was gold and silver and something that was substantial and something that would last for a space of time. Now, in the same way, we must live and build our lives where our love one for another is what the scripture says is unfeigned. We can have love. Have you ever seen somebody just smile in your face and then, so to speak, stab you in the back? You can have love that is not genuine, and many, many people may not be able to tell it. But it's going to be tried by fire. Something is going to happen in your experience that's going to show you that your love is not as perfect as it needs to be. The Lord speaks about, the scripture speaks about perfecting our love, doesn't it? And so there are going to be things that happen about our character where everybody thinks that, oh, Mr. Miss Prissy and whatnot, and everything is just like it's supposed to be. But then something happens and we realize that the depth of their character is not as pristine as we thought it was. You know, the Lord has a way of uncovering that. And then what do? We have to be willing, have a willing mind, and a perfect heart. Lord, help us. All right. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. We're almost done.
And the Spirit of God.
Yes, Spirit of God.
Came upon
Azariah, the son of Oded.
And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, he said unto me, Asa,
I want you to hear me.
And all Judah and Benjamin.
Yes.
The Lord is with you.
While you be with him. Isn't that wonderful? If you're with him, he's going to be with you. And that helps us to know that we're never by ourselves. We're never alone. And we always have the help at our right side that we need. We're never alone. All right?
And if you seek him,
he will be found of you.
If you forsake him.
Now you notice who has to do the forsaking first? We have to do the forsaking. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But if I forsake him, if you forsake him, he's going to forsake you. All right? There's a consequence to our actions. All right? Read.
Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest.
They've been without true God and a teaching priest.
And without law.
And without law.
They in their trouble
turned unto the Lord God of Israel and they sought him. He was found. Isn't that wonderful? They had forsaken him, but he was right there all the time. He said, I'm not going to pursue you. I'm not running. You've got to come back to where I was. Do you realize that that's a person that forsakes the Lord? Any person that backslides because they have there's a hard place. Guess where they're going to have to come back to? That place where they left. So you know what I found out? It's just easier to just go on through it. The trials that we may fail to go through the properly, guess where we're going to have to go? We're going to have to come right back to him. That Jesus stayed right there. He said, I'm not going to trot behind you. I'm not going to beg you to come back. What did Jesus say when they left? They said, it's a hard saying. Who can do it? And then many of his disciples went and followed him no more. And what did Jesus do? Did he go behind them, trotting behind them, and say, please come back. You misunderstood me. It really wasn't what I meant. And I'll make it a little easier on you. He didn't say that. He said, will you go away? They say, well, Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? These people are disillusioned, but Lord, I'm not. I know who you are. I know that you're the Christ. And saints, we have to have that revelation. And we have to have that understanding that I'm not going anywhere, not because, simply because I'm loyal to the saints. It is because I'm loyal to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know that this is who you are. I'm not going to forsake you, Lord. All right, so what did he say?
And in those times,
in those times,
there was no peace to him that went
No peace to him that went out.
Or to him that came in.
Or to him that came in.
But great vexation were upon all the inhabitants.
Vexation was on all the inhabitants of the countries.
Nations
were destroyed of nation.
Oh,
you see the calamity. You see the problems that he's having all around them.
For God did vex them
with all adversity.
Be ye strong,
therefore,
and let not
your hands be weak.
For your work shall be rewarded.
So he's saying, we see the distress that is around. We see where the problems are. But he says, the prophet says to Asa, he says, be strong. Be strong and let not your hands be weak. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disillusioned by what you see. Don't be disillusioned by it seems like everything is in turmoil and the Lord has turned himself against you, and he did because of what they did. But you stay true to the Lord and you be strong. And don't let your hands be weak. And what did he say in the 8th verse? And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, what did he do? He took courage and he put away the abominable idols of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Now, what did he do? The Lord sent somebody to encourage him and say, yes, I see all of the problems that you're having in the church. I see all the problems that are going on in the United States. I see all the problems that are happening in your family. He said, but I want you to be strong. And I want your hands not to be weak. I want you to take courage. And there is something that the Lord wants you to do about it. And when he heard those words, what did he do? He took courage. He accepted what the prophet said. And he began to fight. He didn't say it was going to be easy, or he wouldn't have said, be strong. If it was going to be easy, there's no need for him to be strong. And in the same way, if it's going to be easy for you to go through what the Lord wants to take you through, is no reason for me to tell you to be strong. But listen, when somebody comes to you, and you go to somebody for counsel, and you go to somebody for encouragement, you have two choices. To take the encouragement, or to dismiss it. He could have dismissed this encouragement. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. These folks are, but he did what he could do. What did he do? He was the king, and what did he do? He said, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He did not dismiss what Oded said. And he put away the abominable idols. That was the first thing that he did. We're going to put away all the idols, all the things that are hindering God from working in my life. I'm going to set those aside. That was the first thing. This is what we're talking about, a willing mind and a perfect heart. I had to perfect the heart. There are some things about us that are idols that we feel in our mind, this is too much for me to give, to set aside, and I'm not willing to do that. And because you don't have a willing mind to do it, the Lord's not going to bless you. All right, so he's saying that we're going to set those things aside, and then he's going to renew the altar of the Lord. Those are the two things that we have to do. We have to set it aside, the abominable things, and we have to renew the altar of the Lord, make the sacrifice before the Lord. And you know what the Lord will bless us? He'll bless our families. He'll bless our country. He'll bless our congregation. He'll bless this year.
12th verse.
Yes.
And they entered into a covenant.
They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers.
With all their heart. And with all their soul.
With some of their heart. With most of their heart. With half-heartedly. Is that what he said? No. Do you know what that's what most of us do? That is what some people do. You weren't putting 100% in it to begin with. And then you get an encouragement, and then you were putting 10% in, and you thought that was something, didn't you? And then when you got a little bit of encouragement, you said, you know what, I think I'm going to bump this up to 25%. Brother Darrell, I'm praying twice as much, but you was only praying 10% anyway. I'm doing more than twice what I used to do. And I'm really working hard, but you're still under par. Lord, help us. You're still under par. And so he says, what do? They sought a covenant to seek the Lord with how much of their heart?
all their heart. They sought him with what? All their soul.
15 verse. And all Judah
rejoiced
at the oath.
They had sworn with all their heart
and
sought him with their whole desire. And what happened? He was found of them.
And the Lord
gave them rest round about. Now, what if Asa never took courage? Saints, let me tell you, take courage. Are you dealing with a lot of problems that everything was around? Everything around you seemed to be overwhelming and daunting. Take courage. When somebody gives you encouragement, you take that encouragement. And then you do what you can do. You do what you know to do. You renew the altar of the Lord. You get rid of the abominable thing. You seek the Lord with a perfect heart. You seek the Lord with all your heart and your soul. And you know what? He'll be found in you. All right. Another scripture. 1 Samuel. It's a couple more scriptures that we have. 1 Samuel 30 and 6. And we're almost through here. 1 Samuel 36. David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him.
The soul
of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They had come back and everything, all of their houses had been taken and burned, and their women and their children had been, they had gone on a trip, on a fighting with David. Now they come back and they're coming back from the war, and they're looking forward to seeing their wives and their children, and they get home and everything is burned down. And then you know what we tend to do when things don't go our way? You know what we tend to do? We got to find a scapegoat. We got to find somebody to blame. And generally, it's the leader. You know, all the problems in America are a result of President Obama. Everything that's happening right now, if we didn't have that president, it would be completely different. That's what some folks say. We got to blame somebody. Well, then what did the president say? Well, it's because Congress, I'm trying to get things done, but we got the House of Representatives, and isn't that the one that's all Republican? Yeah, the Senate is Democrat. And so you got the Republicans, the majority, and so they're always stopping stuff. So we've got this gridlock, and we're blaming one another. Do you know we do that too? We do it. We do the same thing. So they were blaming David, and you know what? All of these problems that David had, all this distress that David had, David didn't have anybody to turn to. Have you ever been in a situation that you didn't have anybody to talk to? So what did David do? I'm just going to be discouraged. Poor, poor me. If everybody understood all the things that I was going through, and we have a little pity party by ourselves, David says, I'm not going to do that. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. And I believe what David began to do is begin to understand, Lord, you told me to go and fight. You did this. And Lord, you gave me victories. And you've given me all of this that you've done in times past. You've given me all of this. And now, Lord, I believe that my wife and my children are okay. Would you tell me where to go and find them? He began to pray. He began to seek the Lord. He began to find the God of all comfort. And God began to comfort him. And God began to give him. What we find out is he goes and he retrieves everything that was taken. But do you know that that was the Lord building his character? The Lord building something in David? And the Lord helping us to build in us. That when everything seems like it's completely annihilated, there is still hope. And the Lord has a way of building it. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. All right. One other scripture. Joshua 1, verse 1. Yes.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord.
Death of Moses, the servant of the Lord.
Came to pass.
The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun.
Moses'
minister saying,
Moses, my servant.
My servant is dead.
Now therefore arise.
Go over this Jordan. You and all the people.
Unto the land which I shall give to them.
Even to the children of Israel.
Every place.
That the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
From
the wilderness, this Lebanon, the river Euphrates, land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you.
Be strong
and of a good
be of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mightest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, we're at the beginning, the dawn of a new year, a new week. The Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. It's yours. He's laid it out for us. But he said, it's not necessarily going to be easy for you to go and take it. You're going to have to put forth some effort. You're going to have to be strong. You can't stand. You know, there have been sometimes I feel like the Lord has given me an understanding to do something. And sometimes, maybe it needed money. I could tell you many, many stories about not having money and the Lord providing it if you step out in faith. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've already given that to you. And saints, I want us to understand, let's not be passive this year. Let's not allow the enemy to beat us down. Let us go forward, be strong, and don't have what we say the paralysis of analysis. Just let's analyze it until it's dead. Just do it. It's what the Lord told us to do, and he didn't want to tell us how it's not going to work and it's probably not going to work. He doesn't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. He said, I'll be with you. Whithersoever you're going, you be strong and just do it. Just do it. Pray for me. Let us stand.